Welcome to Oral History on African Liberty. I am Ibrahim Babatunde Anoba. Today, we will be talking to Darna Clayton from New Orleans about his experience growing up in the United States of America as an African American.
My name is Darnell Edward Clayton, son of Darnell Edward Clayton. I'm a junior. I was born in Connecticut and spent some time in Texas for a little bit, and now I'm in the Carolinas. And so South Carolina to be specific. When I was a little kid, I went through schooling, a little bit of school. I didn't finish, but I currently work at BMW right now, production associate, basically helping making X5s, X3s, X4s. My interest, I guess, in Africa started as a little kid and kind of ended there too. When you're a little kid, you want to know where you're from, but you don't really know because I was a descendant of a slave. And so that kind of just ended my interest. And I guess it wasn't really rekindled until I saw Black Panther, that movie. And then I had a strong interest of finding out where I was from and my ancestry, basically beyond the slave trade. And so I started looking up DNA tests and see who could provide what. And I saw Chadwick Boseman mention that there's a DNA test called African Ancestry, and which I took. And after I got my results, on my patriarchal side, it said I was Yoruba in Nigeria. And I posted my results on Instagram. And to my surprise, people from the Yoruba people reached out to me on Instagram. And I started talking to them for about almost a year. It was video calls, phone calls, text messages, back and forth. And then I guess that finally worked up enough courage for me to actually visit Nigeria, which was, interesting to the fact that the United States government was discouraging people from visiting Nigeria and pretty much most of Africa. The official, State Department website said that they listed all these problems when you enter in Nigeria. They listed like level 3 out of 4, which supposedly was like the second worst. They said, don't drink the water. People are all suspicious. It was pretty alarming, but from the Nigerians I've talked to, they were pretty friendly and everything. So I was able to get a visa through their help. And thanks to some of my bosses, I was able to stay 3 weeks in Nigeria. I got enough vacation time to do that. And I learned, I got a crash course in history of the Yoruba people. And so I guess that's the gist of my African experience overall. And so,
can you please tell me about what it was like growing up as someone of an African heritage in America?
I guess the best analogy is like being a guest in someone else's house and just like you're there, you're welcome, but it's not really your home in a sense. I particularly didn't have a hostile experience in America. Some might have had hostile experience, but it wasn't exactly absolutely wonderful in paradise. I did rarely, from my encounters with police, encounter racial discrimination, but it was mainly, I think it was in New York was like the only time I ever encountered that, really. But aside from that though, I've had pretty okay experience being in America. The only thing that I think was awkward was the fact that I didn't really have a culture to claim as my own, in a sense. And so I kind of looked at Asian culture, because even though they were kind of colonized, they kind of still had their culture intact. So I had a huge interest in like Japan and China and some of their histories and stuff like that, as well as some Middle Eastern ones. So that kind of fascinated me, because I didn't know much about African culture overall. And so, I didn't really, encounter that much hostilities from, you might say, police outside of New York. And that incident was mainly due to, we were going to a funeral, and I was a little kid at the time. And then, there's too many Black people traveling through a white neighborhood. And cops were called and I think delayed the burial for like a few hours. So I remember that vividly as a kid though. And I was kind of like struck by that. But aside from that, though, it hasn't been awful as some might have experienced, but it hasn't been like totally perfect as well. So,
could you please tell me about your family, as many generations as you can remember?
I actually had to get a list from my mother. On my father's side, is of course Darnell Clayton, senior, and his father, my grandfather, was named Kermit Clayton. And ironically, I was almost named Kermit. It wasn't for the intervention of my mother, I probably would've been called Kermit, because my dad wanted to name me Kermit after my grandfather. Not much is known beyond my grandfather. He didn't really explain where his family was from. And I was a little kid when I think he passed away. He always seemed peaceful to me though, which is weird. I've never seen his eyes open. But I guess he was more of a reserved person, had a kind of like a tough guy persona, but at least from all my other siblings who've described him. But as far as I know, he was just like a peaceful sleeping grandpa. So that's my lasting impression of him. On my mother's side, I actually had to talk to my mother and find out, let me see if I can get the names real quick. My mother is Myra Selby Clayton, and her mother was Annie Ruth Linton. That's my grandmother. And then her mother was Joanne Blango. I think she died young. There's like only one picture of her. And so, and then her mother was Ida Frances Collins. And she's my great, great grandmother. And that's as far as I can go back. The woman before that was someone who was a slave, but we don't know her name or anything else beyond that. And so, it's like that, once you get to the Civil War, everything kind of gets like, it's just a fuzzy, so.
Have you tried to find out more about your great-grandmother, whom, of course, you said lived in North Carolina, or grew up in North Carolina, and any generation preceding her? Have you tried?
I have not tried that much. Others in my family have tried, and I guess they've hit that, you might say, wall. So I like, when I ask questions, that's as far as they got. And so hers is the furthest they've gotten as far as records they have and pictures. And so that's as far as I went. I did not go beyond that.
Can you describe your childhood growing up as an African-American?
Growing up in Connecticut was kind of interesting. Like, I think I was one of the few Black people in the school. I think there might have been like 5 to 10 of us total out of like maybe almost 1,000, or no, like 600-700, but I guess growing up in our class. I guess I was pretty obvious of my skin color, mainly because there's so few of us. And it wasn't like an awful period. Connecticut was, like my dad was from New York and my mother is from North Carolina. And I think they met in New York. But they moved to Connecticut to kind of get away from the riffraff in New York. And so I kind of grew up in a suburbia type atmosphere. It wasn't like ghetto or anything like that, but it was kind of like, wasn't like elite preppy or anything like that either. So I guess kind of boring in a sense.
Do you still live in Connecticut or when you moved out? Can you tell us more about that?
Oh, yeah, I was in Connecticut until I graduated high school and I couldn't afford the schools there because they were like asking for, I think $20,000 to $40,000 a semester, and I didn't have that money, and I didn't want to get in debt, and so I went to Texas instead, and lived in Texas for about 4 to 5 years, and around Tyler, Texas, and I attended Tyler Junior College there, and so, and after that I moved to South Carolina, and so, and from there I'm employed at BMW. So,
what was life like growing up in Texas?
Texas was a very interesting state. The people there were very friendly, but they let you know they would kill you if you took anything from their house. Also, I was told by friends certain cities not to visit, and I didn't visit them. They said they're full of Ku Klux Klan members. And I was like, why are these cities full of it? And apparently they had been kicked out of other cities. So they formed, either they invaded other small towns or formed towns of their own. And so I was told by other white people not to go there because they said it's full of racist people and they will not serve you any food or anything like that. And so I was also warned not to run from cops because they are legally able to shoot at people, which I was like, what? And that was something that kind of shocked me. And I wasn't there at the time, but there was a shooting between cops and some truck driver in Texas. And apparently it freaked everyone else out. But I came, I think, when it ended. So, but yeah, that was like the most extent of it though. But Texas was pretty fun. People there are very friendly, nice. Almost everyone had a gun though, so you pretty much didn't want to cross the wrong person, especially a few crazy people who believed that Texas was a country. And you just shook and nodded your head because they had like an AR-15 or whatever gun they had on the shotgun. And so I was just told, just don't argue with them because they think it's like a country like France or anything else. And they're in their own craziness. So, but yeah, aside from that, Texas is okay.
So you said after Texas, you moved to North Carolina. Could you tell us what happened in South Carolina? How was life in South Carolina?
South Carolina is pretty, I guess it was surprising. Like, I'm in an area, I guess I might say it's more progressive in South Carolina, in the northern part of the state. It's been mostly friendly. I've haven't had any bad experiences with even cops here. I've talked to cops frequently. Whenever I encounter them, I talk to them, usually as like downtown in Greenville. But overall, though, the life here has been decent and okay. So I have not had many problems. Then again, I try not to get into like go to bars or anything else. So I'm not fascinated by alcohol or anything. So not for any religious or anything reasons, but just has never appealed to me. So.
So did you grow up with any of your grandparents or great-grandparents?
No. Most of them had died by the time I was born. Like, I'm the youngest of eight kids. I have one full brother, and the rest are half from previous relationships. But my grandfather, Kermit, was the only one I remember, and I only remember him sleeping. And so, according to my siblings, he was a very... I guess he could have been an angry person, like, you know, rough, tough type. Like, all my siblings, like, tell me that about him. But my only perception of him is just a peaceful grandpa, so.
What about your present family now? How many family members can you remember, or do you have close relations with?
I have cousins that live in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida. We talked every once in a while. One lives in Dominican Republic now, which I didn't realize. I met her at another funeral, ironically, and then she came and talked. Said, oh, I'm in Dominican Republic, so. But overall, though, it's just like, I guess I have a big family, and so it's just like, most of my siblings don't live in the state, in the area. I have a brother and sister who do live in South Carolina, though.
Could you kind of describe your experience pursuing education from your childhood up to this moment as an African American?
Oh, education? I would guess it would be just average student in high school, went to college. I didn't finish it. I dropped out. I was trying to get into... investments and financial services, and then the stock market kind of went south, and so then I kind of got out of that and went to construction a little bit, and then eventually got into a BMW car manufacturing. So
Will you say your family helped in any way educating you as an African-American, or educating you in your own lineage history, or generally the African-American history, or did you just pursue that education on your own?
So on my father's side, since my grandpa didn't exactly go much into his history, it was just mainly current events that happened. But overall, like, you know, we were taught about like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., some of the civil rights movements, and some of the things that they had to endure back when they were younger. Some of my older relatives talk about there's lynchings and stuff like that, and things they had to deal with that, like, are almost unheard of today, I guess. And so, as far as genealogy, like history, not much goes, I guess that beyond the Civil War, there's not much known. And so everyone, I guess, hits that brick wall.
Could you kindly describe your religious view from your childhood up until this moment?
I grew up in, I think my father was agnostic. My mother was a Christian. And so I grew up kind of like a mixture between the two up until around teenager years. And then came now more like a Christian in a sense. But I've had a lot of friends from different religious backgrounds, Islam, Hindu, atheism, of course. And I think Buddhist.
Could you kindly explain what has been your experience about your heritage, pursuing your African heritage, knowing where you come from, the things you had to do and the ordeals you had to pass if there were any, and what has been the changes to your lifestyle or your worldview ever since?
Well, I guess before I had, I guess the movie Black Panther and everything else, my interest in Africa wasn't as big. It was more of like a disinterest. Mainly because I didn't see a future there in general, because from school, they talk about European history. We learned about European wars, how the West civilized the earth, as they said it, and discovered the world, even though there's other people in other places that they discovered, but that's a whole other topic. And so I pretty much accepted that, the colonial view of the world, like, you know, the West is the on top and they help maintain order, as they say. But after I got my, DNA results from African ancestry, I started doing more research on the tribal history and some of the pre-colonial nations that I guess I'm related to. And I was kind of fascinated that like these they weren't just a quote unquote people in huts and sticks as was portrayed, but it was like they had kings, there was kingdoms, they had, of course, empires, wars. And I was surprised by the Yoruba when I found out that their belief, or I should say Greek mythology, was so similar to it. I was kind of shocked. And of course, the Yoruba say they came from us. So I was able to identify some of the characters, ironically, from Marvel movies, like, you know, Thor and Loki. But I was just like, yeah, that is like that, but it's just like they were black. And so I think I became more and more interested, and I ended up getting more African clothes, I guess. And so I actually bought an Abada, like a full length one from Nigeria, which shocked some people because I could have bought one from China pretty cheap, but I wanted it specifically from the country. And so I had it shipped, DHL brought it over, and I loved it. I think on Instagram I had pictures of it, and I wore it to an African diaspora convention, and a lot of people were like amazed by it. It was like high quality made, and it was like $200, kind of expensive, but it was worth it though.
Could you describe to me what is your current perception of the African or the African identity or Africa as generally ever since your surge or research into figuring out where you come from, and as your worldview towards the African American identity changed ever since, both in contrast, your African identity and your African-American identity. What can you tell us about this?
I guess before I saw myself as black, African-American, and I didn't even call myself diaspora because I thought that was more toward the Jewish group of people. But then after I discovered my lineage and the history, I saw myself as an African diaspora, but just like an African in general. I'm just born in a different continent than one of the motherland. Before, I didn't think there was a future in Africa, but now I understand there can't be a future without it. Like, I was particularly surprised by how much natural resources are on the continent itself. Like, just utterly dumbstruck, shocked. And then I was like, with all these resources, why isn't you know, the continent thriving? And then from talking to other Africans on the continent, as well as those in America, especially in Texas, which I went to last year at a diaspora conference, I was learning that basically Africa was under a constant assault. Their resources are pretty much being looted, is I guess the best way to describe it. And it kind of pissed me off, especially with like what's going on. And I started paying attention to more to what European powers are doing. Like, for instance, with France and the ECO, how when the ECOWAS countries were trying to form their own regional currency, and then France was trying to basically co-opt the whole thing by taking their CFA franc and rename it the ECO and say, hey, it's a new African currency. And I was like, what are you doing? Fortunately, there seemed to be a lot more people resisting that. And some of my newfound friends also, who either discovered their DNA history or I met in Texas in the Africa conference, we're all kind of trying to pull whatever resources we have and whatever connections, kind of like do we can to push back against the neo-colonialism that's happening on the continent currently. So, and I think my next step is to become a citizen of an African country. Sierra Leone apparently is opening the doors, or they've opened the doors to, they call it the Sierra Leone diaspora. So basically, if you're genetically related to some of the tribes in the country, they will offer citizenship. And so that is my next step. And from there, I would like to, I'm not sure what it'd be exactly, but start a business on the continent and pretty much help the community itself and help them thrive. Pretty much bring resources to the area. Because I realized with my American passport, I can pretty much go to more locations than many people on the continent. And so I want to do what I can with my opportunity to help funnel that onto the continent itself.
Is there any other thing you want us to know about you specifically?
Not much. I'm just like an average African-American, I guess, or like, you know, who just discovered his roots and is just trying to figure out how I can best serve the continent in general. I know, like, I'm still ignorant about a lot of stuff that's happening in Africa, and I'm trying to learn every day. I'm trying to keep up with current events, especially with the countries that I'm related to. Like Guinea-Bissau and Senegal and Liberia, Sierra Leone and Nigeria, as well as the politics in the areas and what's happening.
Is there any other thing you want us to know about your family currently or the ancestral line, or what are the, you know, the information that's not necessarily out there that you would like to put in now for generations to come about your family?
I guess is the for African Americans, especially in the diaspora, is to find out your heritage, your long lost heritage. One of my plans eventually is to move to Africa, basically buy some property and build a house there. And maybe even if I live part-time in America, but just live on the continent itself. And I would just encourage anyone to take a DNA test and figure out which tribe you come from and find out your roots on the continent. Whether we like it or not, Africa is tied up in destiny of all people of African descent. And so, as Africa goes, like, same as the rest of it, like the respect, the honor, everything else in general. But I would really like to see the continent itself thrive, especially the countries that I'm from, like in Western Africa. And so, and also visit more and more of the places, like Mauritius and Seychelles, I think I'm pronouncing those correctly. And Cape Verde, I think it's called.
Thank you so much, Darnell Clayton, for participating in this oral history.